So our next presenters are coming up. We have Kathy Cunningham, who is a Senior Specialist Legal Editor at Practical Law, and with her is Don Knight, who is a Deputy Division Chief for the General Counsel Division of the Dallas City Attorney's Office. And they're going to be presenting on right-of-way and land use planning. So please help me welcome Kathy Cunningham and Don Knight.
Can I move this down? So it's in between us. I know, but we both want to be able to see the screen. All right, okay, thank you.
It's down there, so here's.
You can probably see it, I'm short, so. I'm supposed to put my name up here. I would have really lost my bet on how many people I thought would stay to hear this topic by this time on Friday afternoon. So, thank you. I work for Practical Law, that's a division of Westlaw, and so it's Thomson Reuters, which means Reuters, you know, the photographers. So I have access to all kinds of cool pictures, so I just wanted to let you enjoy a few cool pictures before we get to our... we're going to kind of cover some of the things that you need to know when you're doing right-of-way planning. And my experience, I spent a lot of time, I think I wrote one of the first right-of-way management ordinances in this state, maybe in the country, and also, I've spent hours and hours of my life that I'll never get back sitting at planning and zoning meetings and council meetings and things talking about zoning. And it, a lot of times, seems like the right-of-way issues in zoning or land use, you know, you kind of back into them, usually through traffic counts. I mean, that's usually, you know, you're looking at the traffic and that sort of thing and not a holistic picture of what right-of-way can mean in planning. So I was kind of happy to hear that this was going to be discussed. So some of the things before you start on this kind of a topic, you're going to want to know you're going to want to know your comprehensive plan if you're doing land use planning at all, but you're also going to want to know the transportation element of that plan, some of the types of streets and things that you have in different parts of the city. You want to be familiar with the right-of-way management ordinance, your franchises, and we're going to talk some, not every utility use has to have a franchise, so we're going to go into that. Really, Don will go into that more, and your street lighting agreements and a few other things. But so, Texas law doesn't really require a lot from comprehensive plans, but most people do put a transportation element into their comprehensive plan, and that is one of the things that we see in that statute. But it's going to show what types of streets, the traffic patterns that are anticipated in the future as you build out the street. And most of the time, we assume that people want to have those things flowing really smoothly. You want to be able to get to where you're going pretty quickly. But sometimes some people don't. You know, some neighborhoods don't want a big street installed because they're afraid that it's going to increase the traffic and increase the density, that sort of thing. So it just depends on what those neighbors want and what that city or town wants. The types of streets that you see are usually based on the amount of traffic. So there's different designations based on the traffic, the freeways or those controlled access streets that we're all hoping to get on and get off of as quickly as possible in about an hour or so. Highways with some controlled access points, and then the arterial streets, which carry a high volume of traffic. Collector streets, which are some of the local streets that go from some of your more higher volume to towards your residential streets. And then the residential streets are where, you know, you want to have hopefully people going slowly. They don't necessarily on my street, which is a street that goes nowhere, so you'd think they would, but because you have families, you have kids running in and out of the streets. And then private streets, which are things that the local government doesn't own or maintain. If you have someone comes in that wants a private street, you're going to have to really, and don't just accept that, because those streets will, people start out wanting a private street because they don't want everyone to have access to their street. But as soon as the street starts to go bad, they want the city to come in and fix it. All of a sudden, they don't want it to be a private street anymore. So you're going to have to look at the standards for building that sort of thing and who's going to be doing the maintenance. And a lot of times, they're going to try to put it on like an HOA or something or whatever, but those people might not be around when you need them, or they might not have been, they might, in the case of a place where I used to live, the HOA had capped their fees at $40 a month, and that was in no way going to fix the kind of street problems we were having in that area.